Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, yes. 720 WGN. Alderman Brendan Riley is with us, mm-hmm. City of Chicago.
One of our favorite people.
And let's talk about a couple things here before we launch off into a little bit lighter fare. But obviously, yesterday is... It's a shocking and sad day for all Chicagoans when a police officer is shot and killed. We had a police officer shot today in the vest at 87th and Ashland who is fine.
Thankfully.
Thank God for that vest.
Thank God for the vest. Exactly right. And we just had an event in which we celebrated the life of Commander Paul Bauer and his sacrifice. And and he was on a way to a meeting with you.
That's right.
When he was killed on February 13th. Mm-hmm. And your thoughts just on the job that these men and women are doing every day.
It's unfortunate how underappreciated it is. The men and women in the Chicago Police Department go to work every day expecting to have a routine day. But any one of those officers can have their day shift upside down in a matter of seconds. And I think people forget that these are people out there not just enforcing the law and writing you a traffic ticket if you mess up, but more importantly, they're the first line of defense. When you hear shots fired or a loud boom, everyone else's intention is to get as far away from that as possible. These are the folks that run straight towards it, and that's how they've been trained, and that's why they've signed up for this. It's a calling for most people, and it's frustrating when... only the negative stories are focused on because there are so many heroic acts that occur in our police department every day.
Right.
And it's only when we have these horrific, tragic, awful incidents like what happened yesterday and what happened with Paul Bauer back in February that people pause for a minute and reflect and remember and appreciate. I think that if that happened more often on a day-to-day basis, and frankly, if the broader news media in Chicago spent some time amplifying some of the good acts and the heartwarming stories that involve our Chicago police officers, that might help change the dynamic a bit. That's what's frustrating to me. And obviously, the fact that when folks are told to stop and drop weapons, that's not being respected or obeyed anymore, just puts all these folks' lives at risk day in and day out.
And you saw Superintendent Johnson say, after the woman was killed in the parking lot, the officers responded. They went in as to follow the man at the gunman as he was shooting. And Superintendent Johnson said it's untold numbers of people would have been shot had those officers not been right there.
Absolutely.
To be in the middle of the gunfire as this man was shooting so randomly that a woman coming off an elevator was also shot and killed. I can only imagine the horrific circumstances and the number of people who would be in a hospital lobby for all sorts of reasons.
No, I think the superintendent said it could have been as many as a couple of dozen people. Thank God those officers were there. I feel nothing but absolute sadness for Officer Jimenez and his family and his three young children at home. And I'll tell you, as I was, getting reports on updates on the scene last night and yesterday afternoon and last night, it did bring back a lot of raw memories and emotions about losing our friend Paul Bauer, our commander here downtown. Back in February, it's a horrific thing, and thank God we have these Chicago police officers out there working for us every day.
Right, and you hear this all the time in incidents like this. Even though he had just graduated to as they like to say, the real police, mm-hmm. from a probational officer. Mm-hmm. After training, it's 18 months before they become fully vested police officers.
Right, just a couple days off that.
And he had just done it, and people talked about him being, a cop's cop. He was very diligent in the mm-hmm. academy. He took the oath of his office very seriously. Was very concerned about the physical rigors and mm-hmm. making sure that he was physically capable of handling what would come after him on the streets. And he really had a, and again, you got three young kids at home. you hear the stories, and that, it was, you know, something else struck me too. The Tribune reported today that his mom, an older woman was, I'm not sure, was a
family member,
figured out, a family member, was heard wailing. You know, she was coming down the street as all the police were in front of their house yesterday afternoon, trying to get the family together and transport them to the hospital where he was listed in critical condition. And this woman was in Spanish, screaming, "They've killed my boy, they've killed my Sam."
Mm.
And you know, you stop and you think about that other piece of this equation too, which is that this is a really diverse community. That there are people who come to this, who come here, or maybe are born here after their parents came here, which is a great story of Chicago, who want to contribute to the greater good of this city.
That's it.
And, you know, and we get caught in the, you know, some of these other narratives, whether they're national narratives, even local narratives about that. And it's, and, you know, we forget about the, you know, the really, the people who are doing all the right things, supposed to be doing the right things. And that's the vast majority.
That's right.
It is.
That describes the, and I'm lucky to be friends with lots of rank and file police officers. And that describes each and every one of the people that I know. And by all accounts, Officer Jimenez had the all the makings to be a model police officer, and that at the 2nd District, even though he was new, people knew that he took his job very seriously, and he was someone who was likely going to be a standout. And so,
and he was responding to an all call at that point. He was responding to a citywide call because he was, that the hospital isn't in the 2nd District,
right? That's right.
And so he was. It was, you know, it, when, and we played some of the audio yesterday. I don't want to play it again out of respect for everybody, but the audio of the call for service there over the police radios was. You know, you hear everybody moving. You hear this incredible professionalism, and these clipped moments of saying, you know, shots fired, and then they're all moving toward it without reservation, without fear, without, you know, stopping and thinking. I mean, because they are a brotherhood. There was something that that caught me too. On Facebook today, there was one of his friends. who served with him on the police department, said, "We'll hold the line from here," was the last line of that Facebook post. And it's, you know, and you stop, because that's what it is. It's a brotherhood, sisterhood, you know, of these people who are out on the street every day, and this is what they got to do.
It's such a unique job that unless you're doing it, I don't think you can fully appreciate it. That's
probably true.
That's what I take away from the people who tell their stories about work that are at the police department.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously the city is going to you know, there will be a funeral. I don't think the details have been announced yet, and you know, a moment. And I think it's very important as a city to pay very close attention, because there's a healing aspect to this. Pay close attention to all of the tradition that surrounds this. The tradition last night, as they moved his body to the, as the fire department, you know, created for the second time this year, created that arch with the flag, the American flag, you know, hanging there, and
moving.
As they enter the facility at the medical examiner's office, the morgue here, and then the procession of the funeral, whenever it's going to be in these upcoming days, and what happens there, and watch the pageantry, I guess is the technical term, although it seems to be misapplied here.
But it feels more like solidarity.
Yeah, right.
But yeah,
but the solemn traditions that the police department, as you know, as storied and as beloved as an institution, as the Chicago Police Department is, especially by the people in the city who, you know, are either part of it, parents are part of it, grandparents. I mean, they know what all of this means, and they take this all very, 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 very seriously. And it is there's some beauty to it, and there's support, which is nice. There are a lot of organizations that are going to be stepping forward to support this family moving forward, as they have for Aaron and Grace Bauer.
That's right.
And for the 583 families Throughout the history of the Chicago Police Department have been lost.
And on that note, there were, I mean, the Chicago Police Memorial Fund is a great place to give to. Mercy Hospital is also collecting for the victims. But there was at least one GoFundMe page which was not connected to the family. And I think it may have been taken down or flagged. Just
GoFundMe.
Be careful about that, because in cases like this, there are places you can give that are directly connected to the victims.
Chicago Patrolman's Union sets up funds immediately.
And that's probably the most legitimate place to go.
Chicago Police Memorial Foundation, which is part of that. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. There's the 100 Club.
100 Club
that people like to give to. Now, the 100 Club is a national organization. So that's that, that you're for firefighters and police. So right. that's a broader national thing. But if you want, you know, just in terms of giving to that, but if you're specific about wanting to donate to this family, the Chicago Police the Chicago Patrolman's Union or Credit Union, I should say, Chicago Patrolman's Credit Union,
mm-hmm.
or the Chicago Police Memorial Foundation. And those are two, basically, if you're giving one, you're giving it to both right there.
That's right.
That's how that goes.
And Mercy Hospital also for the other,
right. for the other
two victims.
Correct.
Dr. O'Neill and Dana Less.
Right. All right. Let's take a short time out, and then we'll come back to some of the other stuff that's going on in the city. Because, you know, this is always... There was that book, that Tuesdays with Maury, and we like to do Tuesdays with Brendan, and so we like to have some thoughts about other lighter things. But I think all those words are very important to be spoken today and to be remembered, especially this time of year.
Yeah, Thanksgiving.
Lots to be thankful for, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Brendan Riley is here. He's an alderman in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
There's a mayor's race coming up. Did you hear about this?
I did. I heard there's a few folks running too.
Yes. I like the fact that three of them were standing in line today. Today is the first day to for the petitions or something like that?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, yeah. All right, that's right. So it was yesterday morning.
Yeah.
So today. And you know, who's at the very front of the line?
Who is at the front of the line, Ro? I knew he would be.
Willie Wilson at the front of the line.
How do they bring that many? You have to have, okay, so 12,500 by law, right? But you go over that because a lot of them are eliminated.
A lot of them are bunk. Yeah, no, these stacks are like 5 and 6 feet tall from the ground. And I understand Willie Wilson sent groupies the night before to
stay in
sleep
line.
And stay in line.
You kept staying in line.
I know that Willie Wilson was not the guy who slept in line,
right.
But he sent a couple of his minions for sure.
Yes.
If people do that for concert tickets.
So I was down there yesterday morning filing my own petitions, and it was an absolute circus. There was like 500 people down there who all think they're going to be an alderman or a city treasurer or a clerk, and then the same 200 people that are there every 4 years looking for a job.
It's like the scene of The Run on the Bank in It's a Wonderful Life.
It is.
Right? And the city clerk has to stand up. No, wait a second. No, close the door.
Stop pushing.
3, 2, 1. Lock the door.
So true. But what do they actually do? Do they just sort of accept them? Or do they actually look through them in some way?
No, they're just accepting them, making sure that they're being delivered in the statutorily required manner. And then mm-hmm. they have to stamp all their special bureaucratic stamps on them on different pages, and then it's official. You're a candidate for whatever it is you filed for.
It's official.
So that's to get you on the ballot. Well, it's official that you're a candidate, and then they got to go through them, right?
And people can challenge the validity of your signatures to try and throw you off the ballot. That happens a lot.
Because this is a, this basically is a jailbreak of people who are, and some of them, you know, Tom, every once in a while, you know, a few get loose over there at 26th Street. You know, I would be really not shocked to learn that one of them ran right to the city clerk's office to try to file for run. But because there are so many candidates for mayor, one genius political prognosticator told me that ballot challenges are going to be harder this year.
Very.
Because who do you challenge and how many do you challenge?
Well, yeah, you've got Preckwinkle with 60,000, so that's far above almost six times what you need, or five times for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to take a little look at those right away.
You got 60,000. Further inspection.
I'm going to say that 40,000 of them I'd like to take a look at.
Well,
you can only sign one. I mean, tossing people off for signing multiple ballots is going to be almost impossible.
It will be. I don't think they actually have enough time in the election calendar to go through every record, and so
They can hire those guys from Florida that are constantly looking at the ballots down there.
Well, and people, believe it or not, people actually have built computer programs and scanners to actually expedite this process. But all that said, it's still the volume of signatures to review and a December 3rd deadline, I think that's nearly impossible to accomplish. So what you'll see is those candidates that delivered only 14 or 15,000 signatures, those folks are for sure going to be challenged.
Yeah.
But people who have delivered 50 or 60,000, probably not.
Okay.
That's my guess.
And then ballot position is determined December 5th. That's more of a lottery. So it has nothing to do with being first in line and paying someone to be there for you.
Well, the reason why you saw the circus down at the Board of Elections on Monday morning was that if you put your petitions in at the 9 a.m. start of the filing process, you're put into a lottery. And if you win that lottery, you get the top ballot position in your race. And so some people think that there's a 1 to 2 percentage point advantage in the polls on election day if you have the top ballot spot in a really crowded race. People will either file early for the top spot or they'll file last so they get the bottom spot and they don't get stuck in the middle with all the other names.
Bill Daley's asking that we do this alphabetically.
Anya. She's an E, so she'd be up there too. Yeah.
So
that would work.
I don't know. Is Chance now? Did Chance show up with her? Did she? I don't think she was one of the people that filed yesterday, though.
No, I didn't. I didn't see her. And it may be that her strategy is to file on the last day to be the bottom name on the ballot there.
Yeah, so if you turn in your signature positions on the last day, then you go to a different lottery for the last position.
That's correct.
It's all very strategic. Right. There's all these rules.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Worry about it. Got somebody. You got a guy for asking? That?
Yeah, we got a guy. I got Bert Olson. That's what I got.
Yeah, he's a good guy to have.
Yeah, Burton for certain. That's what you got to have.
Corner.
You
got to
have that in a moment right there. And Burton's down there just handing out his business card to everybody as they're walking by. I know he's already got it. I know. Bert tells me, I already got a horse in this race. All right. Alderman, thank you very much.
Thanks, Alderman Riley.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And a prayer for our city on this Thanksgiving weekend.
Absolutely.